I really appreciate him stepping up. Our 10-minute speaker is Ken from San Diego.
Thank you. My name is Ken. I am an alcoholic. I was born and raised in San Diego. My sobriety date is January 15th, 1981. I went to Crown Point Elementary, Pacific Beach Junior High, Mission Bay High School, and San Diego State. I keep threatening to get a T-shirt made that's Mission Bay High School, class of 68, and on the back of it, it'll say San Diego State, class of 91. There's my qualification. My dad moved around a lot. He made a promise that he wasn't going to put his kids through that, so he planted us in PB when we were kids. And then he told us in high school, one of the times when he was down to the vice principal's office to pick up me or my older brother, that it backfired on him because he had the opportunity to change every, he didn't choose to do that, but the opportunity was there, to move schools, find a different group, whatever, clean slate. What happened with us was, senior year in high school, I was still getting in trouble with the same kids I was getting in trouble with in second grade. There's absolutely nothing in my background to lead me to be a drunk. It is not their fault. I would love to run down the litany of the woeful stuff that my mom and dad put me through to get me here. And they did, it's like we couldn't watch Bonanza unless we'd done our homework. Dad went to work. We played Little League. We played football. He came and watched us play ball. We had a car. We had a house. We had clothes. We had everything. And I was scared to death, terrified, and have been as long as I could remember. Even drinking, scared. But, seventh grade, eighth grade, we start bringing out, guys start showing up with the liquor at the schools, liquor at parties and stuff, and it gets a little bit easier, a little less scary. But you can't drink all the time. I went through school getting good grades, playing sports, doing all the normal things like getting kicked off the team for being drunk at a high school dance. I'm assuming that's normal because it happened to me. But we were, the 70s, we'd go to the love-ins at Presidio Park, and if you couldn't connect with the girl, then you'd get hammered, get in a fight. Kind of made sense at a love-in, but that's stuff just didn't fit. It didn't quite fit. It didn't quite make it. I was drinking as much as I could, as long as I could. I got friends that really did go to college out of high school, really did figure out what it was they were going to do. Really did. I've got a friend who's like worked for the same company for 30 years, and he's a nice guy. I worked construction, pickup truck, the dog. You could pretty much get a job just about anywhere. And when we weren't working, we were down at the beach throwing horseshoes and getting hammered. As my friends grew up, got married, whatever, and I kept drinking and getting hammered. There's a guy Shorty at the boardwalk. He was the, I tell my friends, Shorty is such a loser. I mean, this guy is always drunk, always beat up, always got a black eye. He's in jail all the time. I saw him in jail last week 4 times myself. And the guys look at you like, do you ever hear what you say? Do you ever hear what you're doing? I went to Alcoholics Anonymous on a court card in 71. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous on a court card in 79. I went to my third 502. I took a 3/4-ton Jeep into the back of a school bus on the way home from work with a 3.2 blood alcohol. And I told the judge that I'm taking Anabuse and I'm going to AA. And he says, that's good. I'll see that you get the Anabuse. And I hear they bring AA meetings into jail. All of this to say, I didn't quit drinking because of the traffic wreck movies in Driver Class. You know, I didn't quit drinking because of the scary people in jail. I was the scary people in jail. I mean, you know, it's just your buds. You know who's there as soon as you get there. You're just hanging. One day God said, this is enough. That's just, there is nothing, no burning bush, no radical, no nothing, no, my goodness, it's January 15th. I think I'll quit drinking today. It was just, I'd had enough. I'd been taken, shown AA often enough that when it was time to not drink, I knew where to go. And I came to rooms like this. I came to the Cass Street Alano Club. I ran into Les and AJ. I was living in a bush. AJ was living in his van. And I'm looking, what a loser, he's living in his van. I love that guy. just, oh man, it's just, yeah. They showed me how to go one day without a drink. I didn't know, and if I knew, why bother? I didn't know you could, but they showed me that you could go one day without a drink. And we used to joke about being, I wouldn't get more than a six-pack away from a liquor store. I never went anywhere. I grew up in PB. I stayed in PB. There was no life east of I-5. Alcoholics Anonymous taught me that I could go a day without a drink. They taught me that I could move outside of a comfort zone. I ran into some guys that played softball. We played sober softball. We'd go to L.A. We'd go to Big Bear. We'd go to Santa Barbara. You take 10, 12, you know, guys and wives and girlfriends out of town for a 2 or 3 day tournament, you're not alone. You've got your group with you. I could go places. I couldn't do that when I was drinking. I was able to go back to school. I was able to leave town and take a job that helped my career. All of this stuff because you guys taught me first that I could go one day without a drink. I could step aside and just, you know, listen and trust and listen to your stories and live a free life, an easy life, and that's kind of where we've gotten. Today I work for a company that they said, we'll see you on Monday, on Thursday. You know, I mean, when I was working before, it wasn't necessarily a given that we're going to be back on Monday. It's been a long time since I've had a drink. It's been a really long time since I've thought about it, worried about it. I still get as emotional as angry, as annoyed, as it is just not fair, the set of rules that I have to play by to keep me comfortable when other people don't appear to be playing by that same set of rules, or it doesn't appear that it bothers them that they're not playing. But you guys have taught me that what they're doing doesn't affect how I feel when I look in the mirror. I had to cut that loose. I had to let go of, okay, I'll do it as soon as you do. I quit talking to my mom for about 3 years, from like 4 to 7 years sober. It took me 4 years to get to where I could do a ninth step with her. When I was growing up, my grandfather worked for National Steel. National Steel and Shipbuilding used to do these company picnics every year out at El Monte Park. They were absolutely high until you couldn't move. It was remarkable. I took Mom out to El Monte and did my ninth step out there. And it really was a freeing experience until she didn't reciprocate. I mean, wait. this program is about me taking care of me and cleaning up my side of the street. As long as I had expectations on what was going to be an outcome, what was going to happen, I was disappointed. I set it up for not going to work. What has happened is she and I have a marvelous relationship. As long as I keep my side clean, as long as I take care of me, you guys are doing just fine. You know, that's about enough out of me. Thanks.